Do not live with a vocation that is harmful to humans and nature. Do not invest in companies that deprive others of their chance to live. Aware that great violence and injustice have been done to our environment and society, we are committed not to live with a vocation that is harmful to humans and nature. Do not accumulate wealth while millions are hungry. Do not take as the aim of your life fame, profit, wealth, or sensual pleasure. Live simply and share time, energy, and material sources with those who are in need. 128 Thich Nhat Hanh, Precept 7. Right livelihood is an element of the Noble Eightfold Path. It urges us to practice a profession that harms neither humans nor nature, physically or morally. Practicing mindfulness at work helps us discover whether our livelihood is right or not. We live in a society where jobs are hard to find, and it is difficult to practice right livelihood. Still, if it happens that our work entails harming life, we should try our best to find another job. We should not drown in forgetfulness. Our vocation can nourish our understanding and compassion, or it can erode them. Our work has much to do with our practice of the way. Many modern industries, including food manufacturing, are harmful to humans and nature. Most current farming practices are far from right livelihood. The chemical poisons used by modern farmers harm the environment. Practicing right livelihood has become a difficult task for farmers. If they do not use chemical pesticides, it may be hard to compete commercially. Not many farmers have the courage to practice organic farming. Right livelihood has ceased to be a purely personal matter. It is our collective karma. Suppose I am a school teacher, and I believe that nurturing love and understanding in children is a beautiful occupation, an example of right livelihood. I would object if someone asked me to stop teaching and become, for example, a butcher. However, if I meditate on the interrelatedness of all things, I will see that the butcher is not solely responsible for killing animals. He kills them for all of us who buy pieces of raw meat, cleanly wrapped and displayed at our local supermarket. The act of killing is a collective one. In forgetfulness, we may separate ourselves from the butcher, thinking his livelihood is wrong, while ours is right. However, if we didn't eat the meat, the butcher wouldn't kill or would kill less. This is why right livelihood is a collective matter. The livelihood of each person affects all of us, and vice versa. The butcher's children may benefit from my teaching, while my children, because they eat meat, share some responsibility for the butcher's livelihood of killing. Millions of people make a living off the arms industry, manufacturing conventional and nuclear weapons. These so-called conventional weapons are sold to third world countries, most of them underdeveloped. People in these countries need food, not guns, tanks, or bombs. The United States, Russia, and the United Kingdom are the primary suppliers of these weapons. Manufacturing and selling weapons is certainly not right livelihood, but the responsibility for this situation does not lie solely with the workers in the arms industry. All of us, politicians, economists, and consumers, share the responsibility for the death and destruction caused by these weapons. We do not see clearly enough. We do not speak out. And we do not organize enough national debates on this huge problem. If we could discuss these issues globally, solutions could be found. New jobs must be created so that we do not have to live on the profits of weapons manufacturing. If we are able to work in a profession that helps us realize our ideal of compassion, we should be very grateful. Every day, we should help create proper jobs for ourselves and others by living correctly, simply, and sanely, to awaken ourselves and others, and to help ourselves and others are the essence of Mahayana Buddhism. Individual karma cannot be separated from collective karma. If you have the opportunity, please use your energy to improve both. This is the realization of the first of the four great vows. Countless beings I vow to save. Ceaseless afflictions I vow to end. Limitless Dharma doors I vow to open. I vow to realize the highest path of awakening. 15 practical steps to bring mindfulness to our work. Replace our fixation with fame, wealth, and competition with the three Buddhist powers, understanding, love, and letting go. Only when we can establish harmony, love, and happiness within ourselves are we in a position to really help our business, he writes. 1. Try not to divide your time into my time and work. All time can be your own time if you stay in the present moment and keep in touch with what's happening in your body and mind. There's no reason why your time at work should be any less pleasant than your time anywhere else. 2. Arrange a breathing area at work where you can go to calm down, stop, and have a rest. Take regular breathing breaks to come back to your body and to bring your thoughts back to the present. 3. Make a ritual out of drinking your tea. Stop work and look deeply into your tea to see everything that went into making it, the clouds and the rain, the tea plantations and the workers harvesting the tea. 4. Practice looking at your boss, your superiors, your colleagues, or your subordinates as your allies and not as your enemies. Recognize that working collaboratively brings more satisfaction and joy than working alone. Know that the success and happiness of everyone is your own success. 5. At the end of the day, keep a journal of all the good things that happened in your day. Water your seeds of joy and gratitude regularly so they can grow. Thich Nhat Hanh, The 14 Precepts of the Order of Interbeing.